You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch.
You can't stop it.
I gotta say that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here. Enjoy it.
It's ODG. Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Next message.
Seriously, guys. Fort.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out. You look so good right now.
Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles. Dave and Giggles.
Got to go big. Really big.
Message erased.
Edmund Allen Scott. Keep your mouth upon the British Council.
We are Dave and Giggles. I'm just going to let that play out because it's so great. We worked on sound breaking, and this was part of it, you know? It was just like this madness of cacophony of sound, of recording. Just amazing. PBS, sound breaking. Might as well plug stuff we worked on, right?
Plug it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. All right, we are in studio, and we have a packed house. We've got the we've got Giggles, obviously, calling with his headlamp on from Colorado. We got Dylan in studio. Don't say wave.
I wave. I just wave.
Wave. That's probably the best way to do an audio-based show. Wave.
I know my trade.
We have Sarah, who's back from Antarctica and now in Ushuaia, back in Argentina, right?
Sisi,
Ushuaia.
Ushuaia.
And then, Mike, why don't you introduce our special guest?
All right, sweet. So I'll give the rundown from her website, which is projectexplore.com. Her name is Jenny M. Bukos.
.org.
Sorry, .org. Pardon me. I messed it up already. Projectexplore.org. Her name is Jenny M. Bukos. She's the director and producer. She's traveled to over 70 countries. And over the last 7 years, she has directed and produced nearly 500 episodes for projectexplore.org. And this is cool. In July 2012, she was recognized by the Obama administration as a White House Champion of Change for her work with Project Explorer. And in 2013, in October, she was named the top one of the top 40 innovators in education by the Center for Digital Education. Jenny M. Bukos, thank you for coming on the show today.
You're most welcome. I'm not expecting an invitation to the White House with this administration.
No,
yeah.
I wouldn't even go.
I'd have to just decline.
Yeah, just be like, no thanks. Thanks. Is there a casino there? But before Sarah left, it was right before the vote. And everyone was really optimistic. And then she left and you fucked us all, Sarah.
I was gone for 2 minutes.
You were gone for 2 minutes and everything went to shit. Mike told me not to curse this show.
I thought we were going to have a PBS
I try.
A clean show.
I try. PG-13,
an educator please. In studio.
I try. But I just can't.
Why can't you just
I'm not PBS.
Keep it clean for one show.
Can't do it.
One show.
Can't do it. All right, so we've got people here who've been places in the past or currently places. Dylan just got back from upstate where it snowed.
It snowed. Yeah.
How was that? The first snowfall of the season.
It
was
exciting.
It nice?
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
Yeah?
Yeah. It went from summer to spring in a 20-minute span
of
time.
Summer to spring?
I mean summer to winter.
I thought you did the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, it kind of did come all the way back around, yeah. Because it did get warm when I got back
warm,
here. Yeah.
Right.
It was pretty exciting.
I mean, it's pretty cold out now. But
it is.
I mean, to experience the first winter, I mean, that's pretty nice. Pretty nice.
It was just, I was caught off guard. I didn't expect it. So yeah.
That's pretty much how you probably spend a lot of your life.
No, it is. So it was, yeah.
Right. Right.
It was good. It was fun.
And then Sarah, who's in Ushuaia, but just got back from Antarctica. Wow. Just try to sum up Antarctica in one story for us.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Interesting, vast area. I mean, it's just so harsh. The animals that are alive there are just so amazing what they've adapted to and how they survive. It's amazing that, you know, you're basically in this area that's covered in ice and snow and glaciers and you just feel so completely, basically that these glaciers were built by snowflakes that fell millions of years ago. And it's just so unbelievable. We saw so much wildlife. I mean, I could go through each and every one, but it's just insane. I saw penguins galore, whales. I mean, you name it. We had one whale that basically swam around our boat for almost a half an hour. It was, you know, just being able to see animals like that in such a harsh environment like that, surviving, thriving, and
all that blubber.
Being able to win it all is
special. That's pretty nice. All right, so
I was talking to Mike earlier today, and we've dubbed this the White Girls Who Like to Travel show. And Jenny has been to six continents. Is that correct?
I know.
She's been to six.
Antarctica is elusive.
And Sarah right now is on a seven-month continents excursion. Nice. So she's been to what? I mean, you're on your first or your second, right, of this whole trip. You're at the beginning of it.
Correct.
Yeah, so, Jenny, what can you tell her that could really, just make her feel really nervous about the entire thing?
To make her feel really nervous.
Yeah, just give her a horror story.
Yeah.
Horror story.
Yeah, let's
hear
it. Well,
I was kicked out of Russia.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Don't speak up for gay rights in Russia.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. You should have known that before you even got there.
I figured, what's the worst that could happen?
Throw you in jail.
I'm on Twitter right now.
Yeah. Jeez.
It was like the NC DeVargo. Like, am I going to get out? Am I not going to get out? And then when I got out, the CIA was waiting for me at JFK. So
they pretty much handed you off.
Yeah, they handed me off. I got a fellowship that turned out to be a spy recruiting trip.
Explain this.
So there was a Russian organization, it's now defunct, that would send under 40s to Russia in a people-to-people cultural exchange. And it turned out the Russians were trying to recruit assets. And I was brought in to, legitimize the program, being a cultural ambassador. And the whole time I was there, I'm like, I think somebody's breaking into my hotel room. I think my iPad's...
It's like Watergate.
And people are like, you're insane. You're just nuts. Just have a drink and you'll be fine. And then sure enough, that's what it turned out to be.
Man.
So insane. I'm not welcome back in Russia.
So you're out.
So I'm out of Russia.
Putin does not care for your kind.
No, he doesn't.
Oof. All right, so, Sarah, if you go to Russia...
Don't speak up.
Don't speak up.
Just become a spy.
Just be quiet.
Become a spy.
Just become a spy.
Man, that's crazy. And then also, so you are also on your way tomorrow or tonight or whenever you leave here, straight to Amsterdam.
I'm going to London first.
You're going to London first.
Because why not?
The girls, white girls who like to travel. That's the name of the show tonight. So you're going to London, and then what? You're going to find your beau, and then back to Amsterdam?
Then to Amsterdam. Then to Copenhagen. Then to Barcelona.
I thought it was even called Copenhagen. I didn't even know that it was Copenhagen. This is all mind-blowing for me. I love it. So are you just going for vacation, or are you going for part of the job?
It's work vacation.
All right. So what will you be doing in this trip?
I was just going to go for vacation.
I've
started doing live streams for kids. So when I'm on location, kids from all over the world can ask me questions from where I've been. And I capture little video snippets for them. So if they say, what did you have to eat today? I've got little things queued up for them.
You have little things queued
up? Yeah.
So you could put pictures up or something?
Yeah. In the middle of talking. Because I know what kids are going to ask me. I've been doing this for 14 years.
All right. So why don't we get into what you do? Because I feel like that's a good stepping stone into what you do. Describe what it is that you do.
Really simply, I produce under 5-minute videos for children to teach them about the world beyond their community. However they define their community. That community could be New York City, it could be the country, it could be their continent. So I've been doing this for 14 years now. It's all completely free to anyone anywhere in the world, ages 8 to 18, and the videos range from voting for the first time with Archbishop Desmond Tutu kinetic and potential energy through bungee jumping off of decommissioned nuclear cooling towers. So some really wild stuff.
In really radioactive areas.
Yeah.
You're not cool.
Chernobyl, right?
It's not Chernobyil. That's what I was looking for.
She got kicked out of Russia.
No, that is coming up. One of the things we are doing is we're going to film in a nuclear power plant next year in Iran.
I saw this on Facebook. You said the permissions are already starting to go through and you're kind of already making moves on this. Talk about this, because this you basically bring the world to the classrooms.
Yeah, so
experience the cultures and the food and the basically the entertainment, a lot of things. And you just sort of make these enriching videos for these kids who may never have traveled out of their city or state. And Iran seems a little bit I want to say dangerous, but just a little bit touch and go.
Seems a little baller, maybe. Yeah.
Just looking at him to ask this question with a headlamp on, yeah, like a camping headlamp.
I feel
headlamp.
Like I want to travel. I'm trying to
his mind under a border somewhere.
Yeah.
He's spelunking.
He's spelunking in his own basement. All right, go ahead.
I mean, Iran came about. So we ask kids where they want us to go, and the top three answers are Syria, North Korea, and Iran. And I'm an all-female film crew, so like that's really safe, right?
Yeah. Who came up with these answers? Like, it was
kids.
The students?
Kids.
It's because that's where they're not supposed to go.
But that's what they see on the news, and they think it can't all be bad.
Well, no, it is.
Or why am I supposed to hate those people?
Right, it's true.
That's what they hear.
Question. At least they're questioning
their own,
you know?
So I got an email on Wednesday morning that said, hey, would you consider going to Iran? I work for the American-Iranian Council, and given the outcome of the election, we're really afraid of escalating the negative stereotypes about Iran. So I emailed her back immediately. Thursday morning we met. Friday morning the film permissions have already started. So film crew is picked.
That's pretty great.
And it'll be, you know, under the sponsorship of the Iranian government, which is wild.
Wow. That is pretty crazy. And then under your site,
under my site.
Project.
I know it's really, really difficult. So I've got some friends who work on the Travel Channel, and they've said it's taken them 5 years to get permissions. But because it's for kids, they know I'm not going to go in and film like very provocative.
Unless you're in Russia and you work as a spy. But come on. That's here nor there. So how does it work as far as, like, is it all based on donations? Or is the schools help you donate money as you go?
No, the schools get it for free. So it's teachers write me checks for $10.
It's all grassroots.
It's all grassroots. We run the whole organization on under $500,000 a year, and we reach 6 million kids. That's 10 cents a kid. So that's very powerful, right? When you go to ask for a donation, you're like, for $50, you can sponsor like your entire school for a year.
A whole school, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really crazy. Yeah. That's not what I expected. I expected, like, you know, like schools were going to be paying for the kind of – I saw free, but I just – you know, in this Trump world, in this post-Trump world, nothing is free. So I just assumed, like, there was, like – you do give it to them for free, but then in a little back door, you get, like, a little catch, of course.
No. It's paid for, surprisingly – actually, not surprisingly, by people like Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, because they're investing in their next generation of workers, right?
Right.
Because basically, if you don't know about the world, we're all fucked.
We are all fucked.
Right?
Right.
I mean, that makes sense that somebody like that would support us.
Have you been here since the election or even through the campaign? Were you always here, or were you out some places doing stuff?
I came back 5 days before the election.
Okay,
and
so you were
I
out.
Actually was not optimistic because I was in Europe when Brexit happened.
Sure. Which must have been terrible.
Yeah, so I was paranoid the whole time.
So what was the mood? I mean, after Brexit, there was probably a change in mood. And then, like, as Donald got closer and closer, was there like a, we're done. Let's just pack it in.
I mean, but that's what's going on in Europe. I mean, that's what's happening in France. It's what's happening everywhere right now.
So out of your whole travels, you've been all over the place. Why is the mindset, I don't want to say going from like this progressive to this regressive thing, but like why is everyone starting to be like, I don't really want to deal with the outside world. We should deal with our own stuff first. Because that's kind of like Brexit. It's like, we are on this global thing, global market thing, and we're all kind of tied together. And Brexit was like, well, we don't want any part of that. The idea of Donald Trump is like, well, we got to deal with our own stuff. Let's close the borders. It's kind of like this overall, like, let's not deal with the entire world. Jenny, I ask you, what's going on in the world that everyone has to shut down their borders and just start fending for themselves?
You know, I've been talking a lot about this with the teachers I work with and the students. I think there are just so many people who are pissed off and they don't know what to do, so they just broke the system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, no, that's about right.
If I don't know what to do, I'm just going to smash my television because I don't. And then I don't have a TV, but like at least, you know, I've done something that I feel like.
And it's very childish. I mean, it's a very childish way of dealing with it.
This is actually not a new thing because I started this post September 11th and it was the same mentality, and then it got a little better, and then it shifted again. So, I mean, it's a 15-year cycle, really. I mean, the rest of the world wasn't like that, but America certainly was.
It seems like there's a far sort of, like, the right, these nationalist groups have sort of gained hold and traction, and, like, it's sort of normal to be racist and sort of nationalist and have this sort of kind of you know, intense, you know, I don't say white pride, but just sort of race pride, and, you know, just shutting out everybody else. And these groups, I guess in Europe, this is a big thing. These guys are kind of taking over, and it's popular. You know, it's not an uncommon thing. Like, people are actually getting on board with it, which seems, I guess, a little scary, because, I mean, we are a global society, but the fact that these guys are really getting sort of, I don't know where I'm going with this. But
you have.
I had something there.
No, you did.
I think that the conservatives and the very right white has made it okay for that. So it's always sort of been there. And
right.
Now it's just okay to say that.
Well, they
that.
Gave him a voice.
They gave him a voice. And it's okay to just say, like, hey, I don't want Muslim people living next to me anymore.
And we proved that by putting Donald Trump in the White House. Yep. That's what they're saying. They're saying we won because we got him in there. Now we can say whatever we want.
Now we can say whatever we
whatever
want.
Whatever we want.
Yeah.
I know. It's tough.
It seems sad. It seems like one of those, like, we were saying, Dave and I, on a couple shows ago, or maybe a show ago, we were saying, it seems like the day 9/11 happened. And then I said, it seemed like that day that my dad died. I was just in shock the whole day. I was just like, is this
Well, that's
real?
What Wednesday is felt like. That's what Wednesday
is
felt
this,
like.
Is this really happening? Did we do this?
We're still really.
And I say
we're
we
still
collectively, because I didn't vote for him. But, like, you know, and I was texting Dave the other day in the airport. I was down in Florida, and Florida was a red state, you know. And I was looking around the airport, and I was like, did you vote for him? Did you vote for him?
You know they did.
You know? I was like, I couldn't trust people anymore. I had my faith in people just sort of diminished.
I mean, I kind of had to put it out there. Like, if you voted for Trump, I just don't tell me, because I can't unlearn that piece of information about you.
There's like an instant judgmental feel that you get when someone tells that to you. And it's so frustrating. But I want to turn this around.
Yeah, let's do
I'm
it.
Going to turn say, all right, Sarah, where are you going next? And then the follow-up is, if
Can
you've
me?
Been there. Yeah. If you've been there, and what advice you have for it. Sarah, where are you going?
Yes.
Where are you going, Sarah?
Okay.
Sarah, where are you going?
Before I jump into that, I do just want to say that I was actually on the boat when the news came through. So
no.
We didn't have service. We didn't have any connection to the mainland at all. And so we were all just kind of waiting. There were a handful of Americans on the boat. And
did anybody jump?
We had to.
One guy jumped off.
We had to wait until, you know, the next morning, and we had to ask a crew member, and they delivered the news individually. And somebody at my table went out to ask, and he didn't come back to tell us the result. And I thought that was kind of weird. So I went out later, and I asked, you know, what the results were. And honestly, when they told me, there were two of us there, and we just were in complete shock. We really thought that and the guy delivered with a little bit of a smirk, because he was Canadian. He wasn't American.
Sure. And, he's like, look what you stupid Americans did.
Basically. And I really thought he was joking. It took me like 5 minutes to really, like, before it sank in. Then I just started crying. I didn't know what else to do. I just started crying.
Sounds like you did a lot of crying on that boat.
I did a lot of crying.
On that boat. All right,
well,
so
at least you had our picture.
Yeah, did you take it? Did you get to take pictures with a printout of us?
So.
Oh jeez.
No.
Oh man.
That's a no.
You printed them out and you brought them with you, and then what happened? Go ahead.
I did, and then they got ruined.
Of course they did. Ah, see, this
they
is why.
They weren't
watered to them.
But I printed them out and everything.
I know you tried. I can only say that you tried very miserably, but you tried.
Your faces made it to the boat.
And then after that, it was over. Our faces got ruined just like the time has ravished to begin with. All right, so I'm gonna ignore that because it makes me mad, and just say, where are you going next, Sarah? And then let's see if Jenny has been there, and we can she was saying let's hook me up with Sarah, so. Maybe we can make something happen.
Jenny! Okay, so actually, literally right now, I have zero plan. I have to get up to Cuzco by approximately like December 5th-ish. So I'm kind of making my way up through Patagonia. That's the plan. So I've talked to a couple people. I'm probably going to go maybe like the Calafate or Punta Arenas route. Pop in, hopefully, to Torre del Paine, maybe do some hiking, and then work my way up from there. Possibly also fly up to maybe northern Chile and rent a car. and do some driving around there, maybe go down to the Marble Caves, that kind of thing. So I'm open for suggestions.
Yeah, other than Peru, I can't help you.
Super-duper flexible.
She's been to Peru.
I've been to Peru. South America, yay, again, elusive.
Elusive.
Yeah, because you need cooperations by the government to pay for it. If we're going to make it free, then they just go, no, they don't get it. Peru gets it.
I could see Peru. Chile doesn't get it, though?
Yeah.
I could see Chile being a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Try it. Yeah.
Supposedly, Peru's economy is booming right now.
Yeah,
I read that. I've been following some business news lately.
Peru
is just blowing up.
Lima has, like, the best food in the world. I'm not even joking. Like,
what's their? They have like steaks and stuff, right?
No, that's Argentina.
That's Argentina, right? So
Peru, because it's rainforest, coastal, and then like desert. It's got three types of food.
Kind of like
then
America.
So then you've got the traditional South American food. They've got a huge Japanese population.
Sure.
So it's just like wild food. But yeah, talk to any chef and they'll say Peru is where it's at right now.
So you got that,
talking
Sarah?
About it. So just eat in Lima. Just go to Lima and eat.
Just eat.
Eat.
That is the plan. So I'll be in Cusco for a bit and then over in Lima for a bit.
I just want to ask, though.
Eating my fire crust.
Dylan, have you ever been out of America?
No. That's what I'm just observing. I'm actually writing an itinerary right now in case I'm going to go.
All right, so where do you want to go? Where have you always wanted to go?
Where have I wanted to go? I want to go to Europe. I want to see all those old cities that have been around for, you know, thousands of years and, you know, in England and, you know,
we should get you, like,
and,
maybe, like, a first step. Let's get you to Canada.
I do want to check out Canada. So, yeah, we'll do that first.
Get you to Canada.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's set a date. Let's, like, make a deadline.
Make a deadline.
For me. I need to be in Canada by tomorrow. Well,
by January 17th.
Okay. All right, January 17th.
I like tomorrow better. Tomorrow? But if you want to go January, that's fine. All right.
And if you want to call in, the number to call, if you'd like to ask Jenny, Dylan, Sarah in Ushuaia, Argentina, a question, the number to dial is 718-928-9732. I'll give that number again.
Give it again.
Because you like hearing it twice. 718-928-9732. And came in the mail today. I think it came a couple days ago, but I just got the mail today. Radio Free Brooklyn t-shirt.
It just came in the mail today. I think it came a couple days ago. That's what you just said.
I got the mail today. I got the mail today because I was out of town, and I'm the only one with the mail key.
Got it.
So I got the t-shirt today. My Radio Free Brooklyn t-shirt. I donated to our Patreon account. And I got a t-shirt.
It looks
so
good.
So I'm supporting our show. If you'd like to support our show, you can.
It's a good shirt.
It's for free. Yeah, it's a good shirt.
It's for free.
So, yeah,
why doesn't Mrs. Giggles have a key to the mailbox? That sounds really weird to me, right?
Yeah, what kind of packages are you getting there?
Yeah, like it seems like you're getting mail that you don't want her to see.
I'm like the new government. I'm going to control all the information that comes in.
Man.
And I'll give you what
happens
what I
in Colorado.
It's the Trump of his household, that guy.
The Trump of his household. It sits in the Trump chair. It's all gold.
All right, I got a question.
All right, go ahead.
This is for Jenny and then Sarah and then whoever else wants to chime in. But why is travel important?
Ask Dylan.
Never mind. Wouldn't know.
Wouldn't know. All right, what was your question too? Ask somebody specifically.
I said, Jenny. She's, you know, we're all well traveled here, but Jenny and then Sarah. But why is travel important? Do you think it's important?
Well, very selfishly, it takes you out of your comfort zone, right?
Very true. Very true.
Yeah, I'm willing to like do anything. I'm like jump out of a plane, sure. Do that here. I'm like, no, I won't even ride a bike. It's made. Everything is, for me personally, it's made me more patient. It's made me more open. I grew up in Trump land, okay? I grew up in a Republican family. It's made me more open. It's made me more accepting. It's made me more patient.
It does, because, I mean, if you're in a place where you don't speak the language, you really got to understand how to get across what you need and all that. This is one of the questions as I was looking through your website was, and then, of course, I just blanked it, but what, for you... Is it travel first, teaching second, or teaching first, travel second? It's teaching first.
Yeah, I just teach through travel. Yeah.
So when you plan on places to go, you're thinking about what you can get across to your students.
Absolutely.
Rather than like, oh, but in the downtime I can do
this, and I can go jump out of a plane there and
well,
do that.
I mean, in my downtime, I go to museums. I want to learn. Like, that's what I do.
Sure. Let's travel.
Or I say, like, I'd like to meet up with people who live there and understand, like, what their life is like. Like, that's the traveler's experience,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's what I want to do.
Yeah. Sarah, why did you travel? What made you do this 7 continents in 7 months idea?
Yeah, for me, exactly. I just love to be out of my comfort zone. I learn the most when I'm, you know, facing a problem and I have to kind of make my way out of it. That's what I love. And then, you know, to add a goal or some sort of test, you know, greater test in there, that's just kind of like the cherry on top of the cake. That's really what I enjoy. And then, of course, just like Jenny said, you know, being able to really absorb a culture that's different from your own. I really think that I learn the most from people that are most different from me. And I don't think there's a better way that you can get that exposure than getting out of your own zip code.
And from the non-selfish side.
The non-selfish side.
You know, I have a lot of questions about the world, but when I travel, sure. I actually take my role as a ambassador to America very, very seriously, because just as we think, like, oh, all these people in Iran hate Americans, well, they think all Americans vote for Trump and carry guns, and
seems like it.
Yeah,
it
so seems I like mean it. That is my role when yeah. I travel as well.
So you're trying to teach everyone else that America is not so bad. We're not gun-toting crazies.
Yeah.
Well, you could probably say that about the coasts, as they call us, the coastal elites.
Right, but there's no one single story, and there's no one defines anyone, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
We're a comedy show. Yeah. Just remember that.
Yeah, we're a comedy show. I told you. I'm not very funny.
No, it's cool.
We try. We're
not funny.
All right, so not everyone – here's the thing. So not everyone likes to travel. Not Dylan. Everyone likes to get outside of their comfort zone. But for some of those – I mean, not everybody, let's say, has the money to go overseas – or like Sarah
Dylan.
To go on a 7-continent, you know, journey,
Dylan.
an epic journey of epic proportions.
Dylan.
What advice would you give to somebody who sort of wants to say, take that? What are you guys laughing at? What?
No, you're good. We were just making. I was making fun of Dylan. It has nothing to do with you. It's not always about you.
I'm just hearing giggling.
I know. Well, that's your name.
Ask a serious question.
Ask a serious question.
So, what are those like first steps for someone to just sort of? You know, like Dylan, to get out of his comfort zone.
See? That's why it's funny.
Travel, yeah.
That's your question, huh? All right, let's go with it.
Well, I mean, if you're in a place financially to do it, but this is why I do what I do, right?
Right.
So, like, how many kids are never going to get to travel?
Sure. And that's why
not
I
even
asked.
The desire. Because there are people with the desire who will never be able to afford it.
Sure.
There are a lot of, like, student groups that, like, student travel groups that say, well, you're not a global citizen until you leave the world. I'm like, does that mean, like, every child in a third world country can never be a global citizen?
Right.
It's just a very white elitist thing to sort of
coastal
say.
Elite bastards.
So... You can travel in your own community. I do little things like how to be an explorer every day, like collect 10 sounds on your way to work. Like,
that's
just
kind of fun.
I do like really crazy things.
And this is all, so where can they see this again? I'll get all your videos and stuff.
Projectexplorer.org, but all that stuff, perfect. Like, you know, pick up 5 pieces of paper and where do you think they came from? I do that as an adult, and I know like a lot of my TV friends do these things too. It's really crazy, right? But like on your iPhone, like when you hear something beautiful, like record the sound of it. You're like, now you're an explorer. You're a modern day explorer.
Modern day explorer.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense. And like, have you made any videos as far as like being a hometown, like a neighborhood explorer?
I haven't.
Why not?
Well, I do. That's what I lecture in that.
Yeah.
So that's.
But that would be really cool if you like. So you're from originally.
I'm from upstate, a town of 800 people.
Upstate, what town?
Fonda.
So here's my next Fonda. I mean,
like Henry
I have no
Fonda.
Idea. Henry Fonda. I was gonna say Jane Fonda, but that's cool. I think for one of your videos, you go back to Fonda, and you go and show everyone like how you grew up and explore what you've explored when you were a kid. That'd be kind of cool. You know, it'd be kind of like a little interesting video of being like going back to your roots of like, and then like, because as you're doing all these things, exploring all your own hometown stuff, you'll go back to be like, oh, I remember when I was like 5 years old and I came across this little creek here and stuff like that. And like, that could be really good for the little kids, the elementary school kids. And I'm just speaking out loud here.
I will take this as a challenge if you all take the sound challenge.
I'll take the sound challenge. I have a lot of sounds in my phone.
I love it.
I do it all the time. Do it all the time. Obviously, I'm a big fan of sound because I'm in radio.
Yeah.
Not really. But yeah, I am.
Internet radio.
All right, so here's my question for you besides that, and I really want you to do that. Give it some thought because it would be really cool. And when you do it, send it to me. I want to see it.
Absolutely.
So the next thing is Obama gave you some kind of award. Tell us about that. Did you get to meet him? Did you get to go to the White House?
Yeah, I got to meet him. So he does this weekly thing called the Champions of Change, and they pick a theme every week. And the one that I got picked for was Kids Community Choice, and there was a school in Brooklyn that wrote in, "Dear President Obama, you should know what Jenny's doing." So apparently like 50 letters came in.
That's really sweet.
I went to this school and this kid said to me, he's like, "President Obama, know what you're doing because he'd be proud of you." And I was like, "Write him a letter." And the whole class wrote him a letter.
No one's ever going to write a letter about
me. They email you when you win it. And I got it at like 11 o'clock on a Sunday night. And I was like, yeah, this is a joke, right? And
so did you get?
I didn't reply to it.
You got an email?
You get an email first. So I didn't reply to it. Like 5 days.
Did you think it was fake?
Yeah, I did.
Spam.
We're going to talk about fake news in a minute.
5 days went by, and they emailed me back, and they're like, "Look, are you accepting this award or not? Like, we need a book."
You're like Bob Dylan, who just got the, you know, like,
Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
Jeez, Obama's like knocking at your door, and you're like, not home.
Go away.
Go away. Right. So you get to go there.
So talk to us about meetup. Yeah.
Oh, meet him with like 10 other people. It's just a thanks for your work. You're important. But what happens is once you become a champion of change, you get invited to do like monthly conference calls with him.
Oh, cool.
But the best perk is you get a Christmas card every year from the White House. So I'm like waiting for my White House Christmas card because it's going to be the last one I'm getting.
Yeah. That'll be it. That'll be it. You will not be
Dylan's
on
not getting one of those.
Nah.
It's going to be locked up in your mailbox. Probably.
Yeah. Speaking of, we were talking about fake news. I put Dylan to a task to come up with a bunch of real news and a bunch of fake news and see if we can guess what they were. He's shaking his head he doesn't want to do this.
Do you want to preface it with the story that we were discussing all week?
Yeah, well, all week I was discussing, some guy got interviewed and he was talking about he is a fake news writer and he believes that he was the one sole responsible for getting Trump in the White House. He really, truly feels that way. And it's a whole interview with him and how, like, his whole foundation was, I wrote these stories all about Trump because I hate Trump. And my intentions were to write these stories so that Trump people will believe him. And then eventually fact checkers will find it and then make them look like idiots. But instead, they were used as ammunition against Hillary and against everything, and it just turned into a total fiasco where nobody did fact checking at all. And I do think that a lot of this was based, a lot of him winning is based on this fake news cycle that has really blown up, and like it's actually gotten a lot of media attention. It's all over the place.
Media literacy, kids.
Media literacy. Exactly. Really, that's really what it all comes down to. Check your sources. Don't listen to us because we don't tell the truth.
We're not a good source.
We're not a good source. I don't even know if there was an article I read. I could have just made that up. Regardless, we were talking about it all week, and then Dylan was like, "Oh, I would love to write some fake news." So I told him to write some fake news and some real news, and see if we could guess which ones were the fake news and the real news. And he's being really apprehensive.
No, I wrote some stuff down. I'm not going to say if this is going to go well.
This is going to make me look bad because I've been on a self-imposed media blackout since the election.
Yeah. So you're good. You're good. You have no reason to go one way or the other.
So here are a couple of these stories I kind of just came up with on the fly. Okay. Bear with me. All right. Not all of them. Some of them are true.
All right. So I want you to ask someone specifically in
the room. I'll read out the story. Read out this story.
And we'll go around the room.
You tell me if you
think
this is...
Don't make me look bad. I'm going to lose my credibility as an educator.
My attention
I've lost
not
my credibility a long time ago.
Here.
People will still listen to me, though. So
It's actually beneficial to lose your credibility in this day and age.
It is.
Not for me.
Sarah looks shocked.
Yeah, so...
I'm a little scared. I've been on a boat.
I know, you've been on a boat. You have no idea what's going on.
All right.
What do you got?
So the first story I have is, and trust me, some of these are fake, some of these are real. Man convicted of using Cheetos to try to burn down his ex's house.
Man convicted of trying to use Cheetos to burn down his ex's house.
Correct.
I'm gonna say
no. I'll read a little bit of the story. A 30-year-old man who attempted to burn down his ex-girlfriend's house while she was still inside was convicted of basically attempted arson and sentenced to 2.5 years in prison.
It was basically that makes me believe that this is fake.
Well, no. Hear me out.
Okay. All right.
So basically, I keep saying basically. Police responded to this call.
Sure.
And they saw that this house looked like it had a propane tank that was leaning up against the house, and there was some kind of incendiary devices there, and. They searched the grounds, and they found this gentleman. He was about 100 yards away from the home with two lighters in his pocket and an empty bag of Cheetos. Investigators determined that the defendant attempted to use the Cheetos to accelerate the fire.
How do you use Cheetos?
I don't really know. Yeah, it's insane. You can't make this stuff up, but maybe you can.
Maybe you can. That's part of the thing. Yeah. Maybe you can make it up. I'm looking at Jenny. She's looking skeptical. I'm looking at Sarah. She looks like she just got off a boat. And I'm looking at Mike, who's got a headlamp on and looks absolutely
insane. Looks
like insane.
He may be trying to burn down a house with Cheetos.
Yes, of course. And there's a cat in the back, I think, that's kind of mulling around. I'm going to let everyone else go.
Yeah, go ahead. What do you think?
I'm going to say true.
She's saying true.
I'm going to vote for true.
I say true.
Too true.
Too true. Sarah.
It's so odd that I feel like it has to be true.
Has to be true. And I looked over and saw a picture of the dude from your phone as you were reading it.
That's just a picture I took of a random person while I came here. Yeah.
So that was...
Yeah, okay. So you cheated is what you did.
I'm just saying that's why I went last.
Okay.
That's why I went last.
It was true.
I don't understand.
Where did this happen?
Jersey.
It was in Florida.
Florida. Yeah, Florida. Of course.
But I didn't mention Florida because then everyone would know it was true.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah. It's a good game you got here.
Here's the second one.
Okay.
The super moon, which has been getting a lot of attention recently, mm-hmm. right? It seems like every week there's an article about the super moon. Well, apparently the super sun is going to happen next week on Wednesday. Did you hear about this? It's crazy. It's crazy stuff. The super moon, this coming Wednesday, 11/23, the sun will rotate closer to the Earth than it has in 30 million years.
So we're going to burn up alive?
For an ultra rare celestial event. We
don't rotate around it. We're going back to like 1300s.
We're rotating as we rotate, we're going to be as close to the sun as possible.
So as we're rotating, we're rotating into the sun and then away from the sun.
Yeah, but this for some reason this year it's going to happen. We're going to get so close to it.
Are we going to burn up?
Well, no. I mean, who knows, but basically,
who knows? Yeah. We need to know this information.
Well, scientists are saying yes. We may burn up. Okay? But that should not discourage you from going out and witnessing this event.
Do I need to ask the people in the room or just say, this is the worst story, made up story
true or false
I've ever heard?
Go.
I feel like you could have done better than this.
But that's
one.
A good one.
No, it's not.
All right.
That was super sun. No, it's a good one. I'm not gonna bash you.
See, this is why I didn't want to do this.
No, it was good.
That's why I didn't want to do
it. It was good. You did good. I'm proud of you. All right. I am proud of you.
I had another one that was kind
of. All right. One more, and then we'll move on.
All right. So on this article, you'll like this.
Okay.
So Trump actually came out in an interview and admitted that his signature policy, the southern border wall, in a lot of places is just going to be a no trespassing sign. Yeah, there's going to be in some of the areas in like New Mexico and Arizona, some of those like really remote.
Just straight up no trespassing.
It's just going to be a no trespassing sign, but it's actually going to be kind of amazing. He said the signs are going to be huge, bigly flashing signs.
Bigly.
Made up of the lettering from his bankrupted casinos.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the lettering there and some of the lettering that they're taking down off his buildings.
Yeah, they're just going to hodgepodge it
all
together. This has to be true.
True or false?
True.
Yeah. Bigly.
They're going to be bigly.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I applaud you for trying.
It's not easy.
But you did good.
But you're convinced.
I'm convinced.
That was good. We should have made a soundbite for that segment.
I know. Yeah. I thought about it, and I got really lazy. But we'll do it again, and I'll make a little soundbite
for it.
We'll work on it. Whatever we want to call it. True or fake?
Yeah.
News stories. Right. Something fun.
Something terrible.
Something.
Can we talk about this?
Okay.
Can we talk about Mike Pence at Hamilton? Just because I know we're all theater people for the most part. Well, I'm a theater person. I know Jenny appreciates the theater. But it just seemed like Trump is sort of like a fifth grader sometimes,
sometimes
in his Twitter account when he asked for people to apologize and his safe space, and then the name of Pence musical that was going around, like it got you. Like, I hate to make fun of the guy, but you just gotta. You just gotta make fun of him.
I love
right?
that he said the theater should be a safe space.
Well, yeah, that's
let's,
crazy.
Let's look at history and Abraham Lincoln.
I know.
Exactly, yeah.
I know.
I think that was hilarious.
That was definitely the obvious joke to be like okay, yeah. He got booed and he got his feelings hurt. And we had Lincoln who got shot. But I mean, the theater has always, going back to Shakespeare, has always been a place that could rattle.
Before that.
I'm just saying, like, as far back as I go.
It was a place for politics.
Yeah, it was a place for politics. It was a place to shake up the foundation of their whatever. So now this is what frightens me.
But that was not. There was nothing disrespectful about what they did. That was the most respectful way they could have said that.
And they were like, everyone was booing, and he was like, let's not boo.
Yeah.
Booing is not here. Let's not do that. And then he just said that, you know, as a group that's notoriously, he didn't say these words, I'm throwing them in there, as notoriously very, like, gay and LGBT and like has a lot of those, you guys scare the shit out of us.
Exactly.
And then he comes out and says, you guys hurt our feelings. This is just like for the guy who just went around for the past year and hurt half the country's feelings.
Seriously.
And did not apologize for it, would not apologize for it, and then was asked to, still asked to, and he still won't. He wants his poor little vice president to get an apology from some theater geeks.
But you did see that, and he said, and he's a bad actor.
And, like, yeah. Well, the tweet said, I've heard it's horrible. So good. For a show that sold out for like 40 years, it's
overrated.
A horrible, overrated
show. Well,
he
tweeted against SNL, too, this weekend.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah.
You can't take criticism at all.
What scares me about him is that, did you see SNL?
I didn't see it. No.
In SNL, basically, it was pretty good. So you had what's his name back, and
Baldwin
back, and Baldwin was sitting there in the Oval Office, and someone would come in and be like, "Oh, this is so great. We're going to you've got these plans to kill ISIS. I can't wait to hear them." Uh-huh. And then the guy would leave, and he would go to Siri and be like, "Siri, what is ISIS?" So, like, the whole idea of, like, all these things that they went through, and, like, it was prosecute Hillary, and it was all these little things. The thing that scares me is that he's going to watch this, and he's going to be like, you know what? Because you did that, now I'm going to do these things that are really horrible. And that's the type of guy he is. Right. And I know I went on a rant last week. I'm trying
he's
not
going
to.
There again.
I'm trying not to. We can get back. All right, so I heard that Mike, or Giggles...
Yeah.
Went and had a meeting with you a long time ago.
Like 2004.
And had a meeting about whether he could be possibly one of your teachers.
Yeah. No. I wasn't applying for a job.
Well, the idea. Well, the idea was there.
I was in a sort of a limbo time of my life where I didn't know what I wanted to be.
Still
and
don't.
I think Jenny and one of her friends, Alana, were like, well, let's meet with us and talk it over and let's see what you want to do, you know? And didn't you say you have to have a story? If you're going to do a travel show, you have to have a story. You have to talk about something.
I love that you titled this like White Girls Who Love to Travel.
White girls who
but
love
I
to
have
travel.
Like, you know, I did an open casting call 3 years ago and I might have had 400 women who applied.
Well, this is one thing I noticed about your website.
I'm like, why?
Your teachers are so women oriented, which is awesome.
Why should I take you? Like, what makes you interesting? People are like, oh, I like to travel. I'm like, that's great. What do you bring to the table?
Right.
So the two women I have now, one of them speaks like 6 languages and she studied in Jordan and she was like attacked as a female traveler and continued to travel. So like, that's a really interesting story because she was 16 when it happened. She could have said like, screw this, I'm never traveling again.
Screw you guys, I'm not going out.
So everybody I meet wants to be like the next Tony Bourdain. I'm like, right, but what makes you unique?
Yeah. I watch Anthony Bourdain and I'm just like, you know, you have something going on there, but like the overall, like him trying to be philosophical in certain areas, and I'm just like, you're trying too hard.
Yeah. He is dial that smart, it back. Though.
I'm sure he is, but like there's points where I'm just like, there's no need for this backstory that you're giving when you're just eating a piece of squid. you know?
But on CNN it is.
CNN, sure.
Because that's where he is now, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I haven't watched the show in a while, so I'm just jealous.
Okay.
Just jealous. Yeah.
Haters gonna hate.
Haters gonna hate.
Yeah, so my advice.
Did you see anything in him that you could have been like, oh, yeah, well, let's get him on the road?
You know, I got to be honest.
I want
to
hear it.
But I didn't go to school as a filmmaker producer. I was self-taught. So okay. He came to me probably 18 months in. I didn't know.
No idea.
I didn't know. Now I know exactly what I'm looking
for. What would you have told him, the 2004 version of him now, compared to what you told him then?
2004. You know, that's so long ago. That's not fair. 12 years.
But, so say he when he came to you last time, mm-hmm. was the same age, and he was coming to you now as you matured, mm-hmm. you understand things better. What would you have told him now, comparable what you told him then?
I'd still say you need a story, a point of view.
Right.
And now I tell people, like, when I started, like, iPhones didn't exist, like, YouTube didn't exist. If you want to do this, just go out and create content and show me what you can do. And kids say that to me all the time, like, I want to be a TV. I'm like, go do it. Go be a TV star.
Just do it.
Take your phone. Just go do it. And yeah. then show me. And they're
see
like, well, I don't know what to film, and I live here. I'm like, start making birthday videos for your friends. Like, I do it for my family. That's how I practice. So that's what I would. You think I'm kidding? I like make birthday.
No,
videos.
I believe
I'm
it.
I'm like, who needs like?
I believe it.
Yeah.
I think I
still have my resume that it was sort of like a, because I wasn't really applying for any job. I was just like, hey, this is kind of what I want to do in my life.
Yeah.
And I think my resume was just like the countries I've traveled.
Yeah.
Did you make a resume for Jenny that you could bring and show her that day?
It was like a picture of me, like, in New Zealand, and then it was like the list, the years, and like the places I've been.
Did you have hopes and aspirations as to what would happen if she said yes at this time?
You know what, though?
Well,
he did send me a very professional email, and now I get things on, like, my Facebook wall that's like, hey, you hiring? Like, that's it.
I can see this. I can see it. That's really
you
good.
You hiring? I want to travel. Yeah. No. Well, it was interesting because I was sort of doing, and I think looking back on it, I mean, I have footage. I went to Australia, New Zealand for 3 months, and then I went to Jamaica a couple times, and both with the hopes of making a travel video and turning, you know,
what,
like,
what happened
making
in Jamaica?
Myself into a travel host.
What happened in Jamaica?
And then, hold on a second. But I didn't have a story for either one of them. I was kind of like, I was just traveling and just, you know, scrimping my money and just, you know, staying with friends, and I really didn't have a story, you know, or a point of view. I was just filming everything, you know, and my video editing teacher in high school was just like, you gotta have a story, you gotta have something, you know,
you gotta have a hook
to tell.
I feel like everyone in your life has been telling you gotta have a story.
That's why I film weddings, because there's a story already there.
Yeah,
you
don't have to make up a story. Totally.
This is why I'm behind the camera.
And then,
me too.
Yeah. Well, and this is a question for Jenny. You guys write your sort of statement/question. You guys write all of your episodes before you start any filming, correct?
Well, yeah, we write about 90% of it. And then when we work with people on location, we'll say, is there anything we missed? Like, help me out here. But we also started asking kids. So I filmed an episode. I was just in the Netherlands filming stuff with the refugee community. And rather than me interviewing refugees, I put it out to Twitter, and we had like 50 questions from kids.
Pretty good.
What do you want Americans to know? Why did you leave? What scares you? Are you?
How many pot questions were there?
None.
No. I'm pressed with children because that would have been my first question as a kid.
None.
Yeah. Or prostitutes.
They always ask
questions.
Me. I don't think like younger kids know.
Well,
that
how old were these kids?
They were like 13, 14, so that's a little young to know that. About the Netherlands,
my niece is 13, and she's got a decent sense of that whole
thing.
Does
she live here, though?
She lives here.
That's
yeah.
very different yeah. than getting questions from like kids in
That's true.
Idaho.
That's very true. Idahoans.
Yeah.
Is that what they call themselves?
That's actually
never
a
been
big
there.
School.
Yeah.
They always ask me how to swear in other languages, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's always what they want to know.
That's what kids want to know. First thing you learn is how to do sign language, and the first thing you learn is how to say curse in sign
yeah,
language.
Yeah.
That's what you do when you're a kid.
Yeah.
The thing that, like, when I was a kid, we would go to the library, we would be stuck in the library, and what's the one book that you wanted to go get when you were a kid? as a guy, what was the one book that was always the first one to go? Anatomy book is a good answer. It's a good answer. Who else? Who's got a question?
Joy of Sex.
Joy of Sex is a good one.
Kama Sutra.
Kama Sutra is a good one.
Yeah.
Mine was the Guinness Book of World Records.
Oh, that's true.
I wanted to see
yeah.
who had the best of whatever had happened in the world. So, yeah, I don't remember where I was going with that, but we're getting down on time here. Doesn't an hour go fast?
Yeah.
It goes real fast.
It does.
We got a packed house. I tried to bring everyone into the fold, even Dylan. And
I'm gonna go somewhere, I swear.
Go somewhere. Where do you want to go?
I told you.
Where?
You
were like Europe.
I don't think Europe, but
big
that's,
space.
That's too general, right? That's
too general.
Yeah. I want to go to
Europe's
Russia, actually.
What about
Russia?
Russia.
Yeah.
She
this whole
can't
spy
go.
Program thing.
I can't help you
cool.
with that.
No, she's not
gonna go. Yeah, but it's under 30, she said. You're too old.
It's under 40. It's
under
40.
You can do it.
I got to hurry. Yeah. See, there's some incentive to make a move.
All right, I'm gonna try to get the last questions in before we have to pack up. What's one story you've got that you could not put out on your videos? What's like doing all this traveling? What's a story you got that you just couldn't put out on the videos?
Oh my God, I can't tell you that.
That's what we're here for. You told me there was no question off the table.
No, I didn't say I'd answer it though.
Oh, good point.
Oh, I will tell you one.
Perfect.
So I was with a member of the, I can't tell you which person.
All right.
With a female member, obviously, when you
it's
hear the story.
Hot.
With the, of the Royal Jordanian family.
Ah.
And I had an all-male crew at that time.
Love it.
And she's like, I need to talk to you. And we'd already mic'd her.
So you got this on
my crew's all listening to this. And I was like, I didn't have the foresight to say, shut it off. She takes me outside. She goes, I don't fucking want to do this interview. I got my period so bad today.
What?
And it's a princess. I came back in and all the guys are laughing. And I'm like, I so wish I could put that because this is a princess.
It's a princess. Did you tell her eventually that you
I
had
never
it?
Told her. It's so funny because that's all I could think of. She just didn't want to do this interview.
Totally. And I'm sure she was not in the best moods to come to you like that. But it would have been funny if like a week down the line, you're like, I have that on audio. I'll send it to you because it's pretty funny. But imagine if we put this out there. Give me some money to
I've
hide it.
I've actually got quite a few of those, but she was funny.
Robert Durst shit over here.
And the burping.
And the burping.
And the burping.
Even princesses get periods.
Well, this is true.
That's my favorite book. That's the book I used to always read.
Even
library.
Muslim princesses get periods.
This is true. Oh, man.
Oh,
well,
boy.
We're getting towards the end of the line here.
Jenny and Bukos, listen, if you're listening right now, projectexplorer.org, go on there if you're a teacher. Check it out. It's free, right?
Yeah.
It's free.
Correct?
It's
all
free.
Free. And
all free all the time.
Board of directors, you're legit. You're 501c3, not-for-profit. If you want to donate, you can go on their website and do it and keep up the good work.
Thank
Sarah
you.
Is in Ushuaia heading... heading north, right? Obviously, you can head south. You've already headed south.
Can't go any further south.
Yeah. Dylan is going to try to take a trip to Europe.
I'm not going
to
make it anywhere.
He's going to go rush.
I'm going nowhere.
I'm going nowhere. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Going nowhere.
What do we got coming up next?
Mouthfield.
What is it?
Mouthfield.
Thanksgiving.
Mouthfield.
Yes, with Brock and Barry.
Brock and Barry. What are you guys going to be talking about today?
We are going to be talking about more buildings and food.
More buildings and food.
Nice.
Yeah. All right.
Thanksgiving.
Ah. All right, guys, what's the best side? Thanksgiving side.
Stuffing.
I'm going to go around the room. Sarah, first. Thanksgiving side, what's the
best?
Sweet potatoes is good. With or without mushrooms? Or marshmallows? That's what I was going with.
Hold the mushrooms.
Dylan, best side.
Stovetop stuffing.
I can't.
That was mine.
All right, stovetop stuffing. Jenny.
Homemade cranberry sauce.
Homemade cranberry sauce.
Not the canned.
Oh, yeah. I love the canned stuff.
Yeah. All right. We're about done here. Yeah. I like it. Dave and Giggles. Out.
Idly hey.
Go home.
Diddly do.